We're glad to have you for our travel article today. It's always fun to cruise around, and we're going to talk about cruising around Cape Horn. And today we have with us for our traveling article, we have Zach. Zach, do you like to travel?
Oh, I certainly do. It's one of my favorite things to do.
Well, and of course, we couldn't do the article without Pauline, because Pauline and her husband, Josh, they love to travel.
That's right. You know us. We love to travel. And we lived in Central America before we came here. So that's closer to the area we're going to be talking about today.
Well, Pauline, we have a lot of words here that look like kind of Spanish words or something. So you can help us with those.
Okay, I'll do my best. I do love Spanish.
And your article here that is on page 28 to start with today. And when we talk about cruising, we often think of ships, don't we?
That's right. So in this case, we're going to be talking about a cruise liner. So you can think of a very large ship that's filled with boarding rooms and restaurants and fun activities. And going on a cruise would mean to kind of go on a trip around, in this case, it's South America.
Well, if you have a magazine, if you're looking at the photos on the web or anything, you can see here that there's this Norwegian cruise line. You can see the ship, and it's called the Norwegian Sun. Doesn't that look like a big ship?
It does look like a really big trip. And I will say, at first, I was a little confused because Norwegian, that would be the country of Norway, something from there. So I thought our article was going to be about going to Norway, but we're not going to Norway today. We're just on a ship that's from Norway, I guess.
Right. You'd think that the Norwegian ships would go around into Africa and that area, but here they are clear over to South America. But remember, the Norwegians were Vikings before.
Hey, that's true. They traveled all over.
Some people said they're the ones that discovered America. Who knows? Because they traveled all around, so they're still traveling around, aren't they?
There you go. And maybe that's why they gave them this name.
Maybe.
Norwegian cruise liner.
The Norwegian cruise liner. But it is from Norway. It's a big ship. Yes.
That's right. But today we're going to be going down into South America. I'm so excited to explore what it all entails and what it has to offer. I've always had this urge to travel and visit South America.
So we're going to be taking in the beauty of nature from this Norwegian cruise liner. So it'll be fun to get started. I like the photos, don't you?
I do. Actually, the very first photo, Iguazu Falls, is my number one thing on my bucket list. Actually,
gee,
it used to be scuba diving. Getting scuba dive certified was number one.
Mm-hmm.
But Doris helped me get that. So now my number one is actually going to this waterfall. So
well,
already
I'll have
the
to
pictures,
see that you get there somehow. There
right?
go.
Already the pictures
two.
Have me excited.
Isn't that exciting? What's the name of the falls again?
Iguazu Falls.
Iguazu. That sounds like kind of an Indian name or something, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right. And there's so many falls. Mm-hmm. Not just one fall, but seems like there's a whole lot of water falling.
Exactly.
It's one of the biggest ones in the world, isn't it?
I think it is up there. I think Victoria Falls is
okay.
bigger, but still, it's one of the big ones.
Wow. So let's read about this. What is this area like to go around in a ship and a cruise around? Let's read the very first column on page 28.
Cruising around Cape Horn. Taking in the beauty of nature from a Norwegian cruise liner. A surprisingly cold wind swept across the desolate beach at Volunteer Point, one of the Falkland Islands' most popular tourist destinations. But the throngs of king, gentoo, and Magellanic penguins didn't seem to mind. This sight made the 2 hours of bumpy four-wheeling over roadless peat beds worthwhile, and neither the overcast skies nor the midsummer chill could dampen the excitement I felt as I gazed at the largest colony of king penguins outside of Antarctica. As I photographed this melange of assorted penguins, I felt that this extraordinary penguin encounter alone made our cruise worthwhile.
Well, thinking about the Falkland Islands, I think they used to belong to Britain. I don't know if they still do.
Yeah, I think years ago there was a dispute between Argentina and the UK. And so, yeah.
There's a little fighting or something down there. It was in the news quite a bit.
Yeah, and I think it lasted for, I think it was like 52 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
in the Falkland Islands. But the Falkland Islands, whenever you talk about some islands, you know, they're off the coast of someplace. And this has a very interesting background. So we're not going to talk about who it belongs to, but we're going to talk about what it's like and what is it like.
Yes, well, at least we know it must be a safe place to visit now. There's not any turmoil happening, and you can go see penguins.
Mm-hmm. And it talks about the beach, and it says a desolate beach means that there's not very many people. It's not like a crowded beach like Miami, and all those places are crowded, aren't they?
That's right. This place is much more difficult to get to, but the reward is that you pretty much have it to yourself, I think.
And this area called Volunteer Point is one of the most popular tourist destinations. And there's a lot of interesting things to be there. Even though the tourists go there, the local animals, or the penguins, they don't seem to mind.
No.
What kind of penguins are there down there? There's penguins in South America and in Africa, all over.
So here in our article, it mentions there are several different kinds of penguins. We have the king penguins, the Guntu, and Magellanic. I hope I'm saying that correctly. So you've got all kinds, and they're all...
The penguins will never know if you said it or not, right?
No, they're a little more forgiving. And I would think that would be so fascinating just to be able to see them, to interact. And, I mean, from the pictures, it just looks pretty overwhelming.
Well, the pictures look like what we usually think about the king penguins. They're so big and stuff. And they're all around in the South Pole, which goes around, of course, in over to Africa in that area. So that's where the penguins live. And you can see them if you go to New Zealand, and you can see them in a lot of places, right?
Really? I didn't know that about New Zealand.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of places where you go down and see penguins down there, too.
See, you learn something new on this show every day.
Right. But the penguins here don't seem to mind the people coming very much. It's pretty interesting. But there's so many penguins. Can you imagine when you look at that picture how many penguins there are?
I know. And just to think that you can see so many different kinds in one spot, that has me.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this case, you have a mixture, kind of an assorted group of penguins. And so that brings us to our first vocabulary focus word of the day. This word, I think it's melange. And so, yeah, it just means a mixture, a group. And so in this case, we're talking about a group or a mixture of penguins.
But it wasn't easy for them to get there.
No.
They said there's actually no roads, it sounds like, to arrive at this beach. So instead of driving a car on a road, they took a four-wheeler, which is kind of like a motorcycle, but with four wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And they drove that over peat beds, so like this mossy, rocky area
right.
That's not an actual road, but they just kind of made their own way to find this beach where they could see the penguins.
That sounds pretty intense. Would you do that, Pauline?
I think Pauline would. She probably would. Right.
Doris, would you ride on some
four-wheelers? I might, too.
That sounds fun.
Let's go, Doris. We'll do it together.
That's right. But, you know, I like it when the sun comes out, and they had neither the overcast skies nor the midsummer chill could dampen their excitement. So don't expect it always to be sunny, but you can have a good time. You've gone a lot of places and the sun didn't come up, but you still had fun.
Exactly. I think that's the right attitude to have. Don't let one little thing ruin an incredible moment.
Right.
And so this person who wrote this, Doug Hansen, who wrote this, they photographed all of this group of all different kinds of penguins. And he said, just coming down here to see the penguins would make this whole trip worthwhile. I'd think so too, wouldn't you?
I think so. Like I said, let's go.
Sounds like you're getting your money's worth.
But, you know, they were on a cruise, and a cruise ship stops in different places. And if you look at the map, we have a little kind of a line, a little map drawn at the top here. You can see they went from the east coast of South America all around to the bottom, to Cape Horn, up to the west coast. And that's what we're going to follow them on.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something you wouldn't ordinarily do, so they call it a once-in-a-lifetime cruise. Once is going to be enough. And you'd like to do it, wouldn't you, once?
I would love to. Of course, I think I'd love to do it many times, but I bet it's very expensive, too. So
once
you get to do it, it's probably only once in a lifetime.
Yeah, the opportunity to go on a cruise, we would use this phrase once in a lifetime because it's a rare chance that, you know, it might only come once in your lifetime. So,
well, let's find out more about it. Let's read the next section, once in a lifetime. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
once-in-a-lifetime cruise. To put this adventure in proper context, after our recent retirement, my wife and I rented our home and traveled in South America for 4 months, both to see her family and to explore this intriguing part of the world. We found ourselves on Norwegian Cruise Line's ship, the Norwegian Sun, circumnavigating the tip of South America, Cape Horn. This once-in-a-lifetime cruise, beginning in Buenos Aires and ending in Valparaiso, Chile, provided an amazing assortment of adventures with penguins, glaciers, and fjords, mixed in with remote towns and hospitable people. In a journey filled with so many memorable moments, here are the highlights.
So we find out some of the highlights here. Now, this is a big adventure. We're going to find out about many different places, so we have to put this in the right viewpoint, the right proper context. Now, who is this man? We don't know who they are. Let's find out about them. Tell us more about him.
So in the beginning, we find out he's recently retired, and it's a couple, right, he and his wife, and they are renting a home while traveling in South America.
They rented out their own home, right?
Yeah, and actually, I'm glad Zach said it that way, because I read it that way at first, too. It was a little confusing because I said, I rented our home. It sounds like he has a house that he pays for every month that he's renting. But I think it would have been clearer if he would have said, rented out.
Somebody else
is paying to live in his home while he and his wife go travel for a long amount of time.
So it costs a lot of money, so maybe that helps.
And that probably helps them with their travel, yes.
But, you know, they've already retired. And, you know, Pauline, I think you're going to want to go to these places before you retire. You don't have to wait till you retire to travel, do you?
I agree. Of course, if you are at a retirement age, go do it now. But if you can do it before that, if you're younger, then why not?
Certainly, I think traveling adds very helpful and beneficial life experience. I know for me, it kind of grows you up and matures you and allows you to just see other sides of the world.
Although then again, for this kind of cruise, one that is such a long
four months. Yeah,
you can't leave your job. And if you don't work for a long time, you probably won't save up the money to be able to pay for this cruise.
So that might be a little bit long.
Yeah, that might be a retirement once in a lifetime.
Maybe you should just go see the penguins first and do the rest later. Who knows?
Yeah, I might have to do them separately without
the
big cruise.
You might do it, right. 4 months is too long, Pauline. You have to be on Let's Talk, right? Okay.
Fair.
But, you know, they had the time and they thought they would do this. And so she said that they went down here to see her family. And so where does her family live? Then they must live in South America.
Yeah. So the husband is the one writing this, but he said they did go down to South America in part to see his wife's family who lives down there, apparently. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like it's a win-win. They have family and they are intrigued by this part of the world. And that word, it's very intriguing. It's just something that's very, you're very curious about. And it just seems like it's very interesting. And you have to go and explore it and find out what's down there.
Right. Some of these words, we can't mark everything as vocabulary words.
Right.
But if you don't know the word intriguing, I think it would be good to put into your vocabulary, don't you?
Absolutely.
Because intriguing means it's very interesting and you want to know more about it. It's a good word.
It is a good word. Sometimes I use it to describe myself like, ooh, I'm very intrigued by this. So you can use it that way.
Well, you're
way
not
too.
So an intriguing person, right? But they found themselves on this ship. They found what's a good way to go there. So they booked a ticket on the Norwegian Cruise Line ship, and it's called the Norwegian Sun. And they went around the tip, and it says circumnavigating. Now, that has to do with something like going around someplace.
That's right. So in this case, we're talking about a cruise liner, but it just means to sail all the way around something. In this case, it's South America, this kind of tip that is marked by Cape Horn.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we've talked about going around in Africa and going around that way. You could go around the tip. But now we're going across to America, to South America, and we're doing that. And that sounds exciting, doesn't it?
It sure does.
And the name of the place is called Cape Horn. That's what they call it. So it is a once-in-a-lifetime cruise. And where did the cruise start?
Well, it started in Buenos Aires, which I believe is in Argentina. In fact, actually, mm-hmm. our map helps us see
yes,
that.
Yes, it does.
You can cheat and look. It's right at the northern part of Argentina, the last bit of coast that Argentina has.
Right beneath Brazil there, right?
Exactly.
Okay. And then where did they end up?
Well, then, like, as we see, they're going to go all the way down, like we said, circumnavigating the Cape Horn and then going back up following Chile.
So they're just going a whole round the tip of that. And on this trip, they're going to have an amazing assortment of adventures. One of the adventures is the penguins, right?
That's right. We talked about that in our previous reading. Lots of different kinds of penguins to check out. Oh, I think that would be an amazing way to start an adventure like this, to see such a beautiful specimen of nature.
They're going to see penguins. What else are they going to see?
Well, they're also going to see glaciers and fjords.
Well, there's two different things. Fjord sounds like what the Norwegians like to say, like big canyons, we call them, don't they?
Yeah.
In the water, fjords, right?
Mm-hmm. Kind of like a high cliff.
High cliff, mm-hmm. usually over water. Mm-hmm.
Sounds spectacular.
And they're not only that, they're going to have all these different kinds of towns that are remote that people don't usually go to, but the people are there are very friendly. How
That's
do we
right.
know?
Well, it uses this word hospitable, and mm-hmm. I love this word. It's just kind of describing the character of the people, that they are welcoming, that they take them in, that they offer them a bit of their culture, and they're warm and... You know, I think that's a great way to be described, that your town is very hospitable.
I think that's very important for all of us. Wherever we live, we might live in a very beautiful place, but if we're not friendly to visitors, we're not hospitable, that's no good, is it?
Absolutely, and I've been really grateful for how hospitable people have been to me, and I always think about whenever I move back to my own country, I want to return the favor and be hospitable to those who come visit.
And this journey that they took, this trip, that they were on, it was filled with so many things that would help them remember memorable moments, not just one thing. And so we can't talk about all the things they saw, but they told us some of the highlights. Now, what are the highlights of something?
Well, so the highlights would be those, the things that kind of stood out and that were memorable and that you remember, and maybe when you're telling your friends about the adventure that you went on, you said, oh, I have to tell you about this experience or that experience. Those things would be the highlights.
Yeah, they're the best parts.
Right. And, you know, we can remember a lot of things, but now we have digital cameras and things, and we can take pictures and save them. And do you ever talk about some of the trips that you made already in the past?
Of course. I just went to Okinawa with my family. And
went scuba diving.
Actually, my parents don't scuba dive, so I just went snorkeling with them.
That's fun.
But a couple of the highlights were we saw some sea turtles, and we went whale watching. Those are my two highlights.
So there's always memorable things, isn't that right?
That's right.
And traveling really enriches you. It gives you a chance to take in the beauty of nature and to meet other people. And that's what we're going to find out, what are some of the highlights of their trip. And so we have to go where they started. Now, where did they start from?
They started in Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Okay, and if you don't like this little map, you can just Google it and get a bigger map, and you can follow them even better. But this is where they started, and that's a very interesting city, but we're going to find out more about it as we read the next paragraph. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Buenos Aires, Argentina. Buenos Aires proved to be a remarkably European-looking city, full of parks, a renowned 200-year-old cemetery, the site of Eva Evita Perón's tomb, the widest boulevard in the world, and a shoreline bordering the Rio de la Plata, considered by many to be the widest river in the world. Not only is it the most visited city in South America, but it provided easy air access to one of the world's greatest waterfalls, Iguazu Falls. A natural wonder not to be missed.
Well, Well, Pauline, it seems to me that if you're going to take this trip there, you're going to spend a long time just in Buenos Aires. That sounds like there's a lot going on there.
I think you're right. Well, I already told you one of the things I most want to do in life is to go see this waterfall, Iguazu Falls. And we learn at the bottom of this paragraph that you can access it from Buenos Aires. So that already gives me a really good reason to go to that city.
That's true. But even the city itself, you know, you think, what is it like when you go to these other cities? Some of them look like old-fashioned European cities, and some look like native cities. Well, it says here that this is a European-looking city. So what do you think that means?
Well, I mean, in this case, it's probably developed in kind of using that a certain architecture style. The buildings are built in ways that would reflect kind of a European, style. And and so here it's talking about parks, even this renowned cemetery that's there. And, you know, it's interesting. It says that it's 200 years old. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when I think of European-looking cities or these architectures, that they're really built to last. And I think in their architecture.
And, you know, the old cemeteries, they often had great big kind of headstones and things. They weren't just flat cemeteries. But they usually had all kinds of statues and things, didn't they, a long time ago in the cemeteries?
Definitely. I think it's always interesting to see the ways different cultures, you know, respect and bury their loved ones. So I think it's really interesting to go to a cemetery, especially
means everybody knows about it. It's very famous, right?
Right. That's right.
And, of course, it's a famous cemetery. And they mention a famous person who wasn't, it was probably during my century this time, that Evita Peron, I know her husband was one of the dictators from Argentina. Can you tell us more about her?
Well, yeah, no. So here it says that she was married to kind of the, you know, the leader of Argentina for a number of years. And so, yeah, you know, I think that this cemetery would be the place where you would have people from history that people would recognize in Argentina. Like, you know, it's renowned, it's famous. So you would have some famous figures there as well.
That's true. If you want to know more about her, just Google her name and you'll find out that she did a lot of things there. Very well known when she was alive. She was very active. But anyway, they not only have the cemetery but in the parks, but they have a very wide boulevard, the widest boulevard in the world. I thought that was in Paris or someplace. A boulevard is like a great big street, isn't it?
Right, yeah, I was surprised by this too. I didn't know that, so I learned another new thing today.
And probably there's trees along the boulevard, and it sounds beautiful, doesn't it?
I have heard that Buenos Aires is a beautiful city.
Well, and then they have a shoreline, and when you think of the shore, I think of water, and that always makes the place interesting.
Right,
certainly.
And I immediately thought they were going to say it was the ocean shoreline, but it's not. It's Rio de la Plata, and Rio is the Spanish word for river. So it's a shoreline following this river. And again, another new thing I learned is that this river that goes through Buenos Aires is considered the widest river in the world.
Amazing. I didn't know that, did you?
No.
Well, so maybe this Norwegian ship could come up the river and they got on the boat there, do you think?
Oh, I don't know. It's a good question, maybe.
This is where they're going to start, right there. See?
A lot to see, whether it's kind of the natural beauty of the country itself or some of these old cities. So a lot to see.
Mm-hmm. A great place to start. I would definitely.
Well, that's true.
The only hard part would be leaving. I mean, I know, of course, they know there's going to be other great things on their adventure, but
Good food there, too, I think.
I'm sure, yes.
It'd be a lot of fun just to stay in Buenos Aires, wouldn't it?
Exactly. Yes. See, then maybe that's why I shouldn't do a cruise. Then I can just spend as long as I want in Buenos Aires
Have to check that part out. But, you know, it says it's not only it's the most visited city in South America. So if anybody goes to South America, did you go to Buenos Aires, Argentina?
I thought
it was Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, actually, but no.
Yeah.
Rio's pretty important, too.
That's right. It's a very popular city,
you better stop
too.
There, too.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, if I must.
But they do have easy air access. You can go by plane to this beautiful falls that you want to see here, and it's a natural wonder that you do not want to miss it. So you've got to be sure and see that if you go.
I promise I will.
Mm-hmm. I would love the chance to see that. It looks amazing. In fact, one of my hobbies is here in Taiwan is going around trying to find new waterfalls. But I've not come across anything quite as spectacular as this.
No, don't expect to find anything quite like this. This is an amazing one, isn't it?
Right. Well, most countries don't have one like this, so
no,
I feel bad about that.
Well, you've got Snoqualmie Falls in Seattle, but you know, that's a little tiny thing compared to this. And there's Niagara Falls. And
Eleanor Roosevelt, I think it was her, was quoted as saying, "Poor Niagara," when she saw Iguazu Falls, because it's so much bigger. Although, of course, Niagara Falls is beautiful, too.
All the falls are pretty. Just see the water flowing.
So true.
In
yeah, yeah.
But this one is so beautiful because it's so broad and so wide and so much water falling. So look at the pictures on here and go over some of the words and think about it. Maybe you would like to take a once-in-a-lifetime trip, or maybe more than one time. You might go there more than once, right?
You never know.
So that's what we've been talking about today, cruising around in a cruise line ship, the Norwegian ship, around Cape Horn. And where is that? Is that in Africa?
No.
So, yeah, it's...
It's in South America.
That's right.
And you want to follow us tomorrow, everybody?
I certainly would. We're only on our first stop, so we got to keep going.
These are just some of the highlights. That's just the beginning. Mm-hmm. So come back tomorrow, and we're going to go around Cape Horn. See you then.
Goodbye.